Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Today we're going to be talking about why we struggle to stop unwanted behaviors. But before we jump into today's podcast, if any of the episodes that you listen to are helpful to you and you think it might be helpful to someone else, we would love if you would share it with others. That really does help get our podcast to those who could really benefit from it. All right, let's jump into today's episode. So the topic of today's episode, it really came from a verse that we talked about while we were at church today. And as Tim and I were discussing it and just sharing our thoughts on it, it really is so evident that this is something that we all struggle with in different areas of our lives. And so the topic of today's episode is why we struggle to stop unwanted behaviors. And so let me read to you the verse that sparked this idea. And this is from Galatians 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more?" So when I hear that verse, I think, man, that's so true. It says, now that we've come to know God, or rather be known by God. So that personal relationship with God, we know how good God is. How can we turn back to that weak and worthless elementary principles of the world? So how can we go back to the things that once enslaved us? And it's just one of those things where, to me, it really hit me because I think God has been so good to me. God has been so good to our family, even in the difficult times. And I know his goodness intimately, and we have a personal relationship with him. And yet we are tempted and we are pulled back to these other things. And I think the easy answer is it's our nature. We are sinful and we are drawn back to that. And we can apply this to a lot of different things in our lives. And even something as simple as communication. Tim and I have both learned some really good tools that we could use in our own relationship. And we've seen the fruit of that and such goodness that can come when we're doing that and when we're communicating well together. But so often we can turn back, like it says, to those weak and worthless elementary principles that we were using before. And we know that that's not as fruitful, and we've seen the hurt and destruction it can bring. And so it can be frustrating because there are a lot of times where I respond to Tim and I'm like, oh, why did I say that? And like I said, I do think it is human nature. But we'll talk more today about what are some other reasons that we struggle to stop these unwanted behaviors.
And I think this is such an interesting idea and concept because this is something that human beings struggle with, whether it's with your religion or whether it's from just everyday behavioral activities that you might be struggling to change or amend. And it's so funny when you just think about some of these things logically, it's like, oh, it's so easy. You don't want to do that. So then just stop doing that thing. But then in application, it's not actually that easy. We struggle all the time to stop unwanted behaviors. So one of the reasons why we can really struggle to stop an unwanted behavior is because of habit. We have created and we have developed a certain habit that we've done over a period of time, whether it's weeks, months, or years, that habit has been set into place. And what happens when you create a habit is you create neural pathways in your brain that almost make it a shortcut to that behavior. So it's so easy to jump in. So just like you were saying, Ruth, about the communication styles, we have learned better, more healthy ones, but there are ones that are also more ingrained that are just easier to just jump into or slide back into without having even to try to do that. And an analogy I always like to give to people for habits is if you've ever driven a car where it's out of alignment, when your car's out of alignment, it's going to kind of pull a little bit to the left or pull a little bit to the right. And when you're not paying attention, when you don't have your hand on the wheel, it's going to naturally start going that direction as opposed to straight. So when you have this habit, your brain is always going to lean you towards that behavior. You can manage it as long as you keep your hands on the wheel, but as soon as you take your hand off the wheel, as soon as you stop paying attention, as soon as you stop being careful, you're going to lean straight back into that old pattern of behavior.
And in a relationship, these habits are often triggered by each other, right? So we have these patterns and these cycles that we're doing in our relationship. And so even though you're trying to change something or you're really working on creating new habits and new responses, when somebody else responds in that same patterned way, it kind of triggers those automatic cues, which makes it difficult for you to respond differently and difficult for you to break. It doesn't mean that it's their fault, and it doesn't mean that you can't break it, but it's more complicated because it involves other people, and you can't control how they're going to respond. You can only control what you're doing and how you respond. And so in relationship, it's not just changing one specific behavior. It really is changing these patterns and these cycles altogether.
And I think a big part of the habit also is we have habitual thoughts. So you might be telling yourself or thinking, oh my gosh, it's so hard to stop this, or I just really struggle with this. And don't get me wrong, it is hard to stop those things sometimes, but I also think shifting or trying to break up that pattern of thought is also an important part of shifting the dynamic to be able to then change that pattern of behavior. So instead of always telling yourself, man, it's so hard, say, no, this isn't hard. All I have to do is just stop doing that thing. And I might mess up on occasion where I don't think about it, but I'm just going to stop doing that thing. When I want to do it, I'll just tell myself, no, I won't do it. So part of the habitual behavior is the habitual thought. And I think one of the first steps to breaking the habitual behavior is breaking the habitual thought that feeds into the behavior.
Oh, for sure. And I think that in and of itself is a whole episode that we can do because of the power of your thoughts. But if you're looking at the Bible, it says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I think that's wisdom because of how much those thoughts can influence and affect every other part of our lives. So the next reason why it's hard to stop unwanted behaviors is because of instant gratification. A lot of times unwanted behaviors provide immediate rewards or gratifications or pleasures and relief or escape from stress, which can make them really compelling, even if they have long-term negative consequences. So think about if you're trying to lose weight, that cupcake right now feels good. You get that instant gratification, even though there are long-term consequences, not necessarily from one cupcake, but those things little by little built up over time, you're making the same choices, really do have long-term consequences.
And I think, too, that those consequences tend to be so long-term that we think, oh, if I eat that one cupcake, I'll see negligible difference. Same thing, though, if you don't eat that cupcake, you see negligible difference. It doesn't feel like there is a benefit or a drawback either way, but just like you were saying, compounded over time, it definitely can make a gigantic difference. And I think that's a lot of the problem with our brain is that those benefits or those drawbacks, there's just such a long time before you really start seeing any tangible results that we don't feel like there's any results. We don't feel like there's any benefit or downside to it, even though there measurably is over time.
And when we're doing these unwanted behaviors, it often triggers a release of dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that's associated with pleasure. And so these biochemical responses can make these behaviors addictive and something that we want more and more.
And so a great example of that is just being on your phone. There's not a ton of benefit normally of spending time on your phone or doing things on your phone, but you do get that dopamine hit. And so then kind of like an addict, you're picking up your phone, you're checking your phone, you're looking at your phone on such a regular basis not realizing the quantity of time that you're actually ending up wasting on it. And I think another thing that's important to know about giving in to instant gratification is the more frequently you give in to that, the more prone you are to just falling into just doing the things that give you that immediate positive benefit. There's a general rule of life that I like to tell my clients. It's not 100% true, but in general, the things that are easier now make your life harder later, and the things that are harder now make your life easier later. And so giving into immediate gratification is super easy now, and resisting it is hard now. But then when you learn to resist it and you more frequently resist it, it makes resisting that immediate gratification much easier down the line and makes your life easier down the line.
And there's a quote often attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but it says, "Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most." And so I think what Tim's saying is totally true, that a lot of times people are kind of doing the do whatever makes you feel good, do what makes you happy. And that's not the best advice, because when you think about it, if there's a family that's maybe broken by an affair, a lot of times they're doing what's making them happy in that moment, not thinking about that long-term effect or how is it going to affect my wife or my kids. They're just doing what makes them happy in that moment. And so choosing what's difficult now would be to say no to that temptation and to that flesh and those feelings that are welling up inside of you, even though that's what you want right now, versus choosing what you want most and thinking of how will this affect my family in the long run? And what do I want most? I want my family to be together, even though this feels good right now. And so you have to look at, is this instant gratification sabotaging what I want in the end and what I want most? And then when we look at daily behaviors, like we're talking about with exercise or choosing healthier food options, just replacing harmful behaviors with healthier ones. And you don't have to do a full life overhaul. And when I was working with a health coach, she would just start with small daily habits. She would start with sleep and water, replacing whatever I'm drinking, all the extra, the sweet teas, the soda, any of that, and just replacing it with water or adding more water, making sure that I'm getting whatever goal of water that I want per day and increasing my sleep. So it wasn't this huge change everything right now. She would just add in little things, or we would replace little things along the way for healthier options.
And I think this goes perfectly into the next thing, which is fear of discomfort. And I think a lot of times when we're trying to stop an unwanted behavior, that unwanted behavior oftentimes gives us that immediate comfort. So it's kind of connected to the instant gratification, but I feel comfortable when I do this. So if we are a comfort eater or being on our phone or dieting, fear of that discomfort of feeling those hunger pangs, or if you're trying to be more disciplined and cleaning up your house and the discomfort of taking the time away from something else that you're doing and putting it into this. There's a lot of discomfort that can come from the change. And again, most of the time, these levels of discomfort are immediate discomfort, but then they produce a lot more comfort down the line. But there definitely is a toll to get there. I think even when we're thinking about people who are stuck in the midst of an affair and thinking about breaking off the affair because they want to try to reconcile with their spouse and they want to try to save their family and their relationship, there is a discomfort even in that, where it's, I am afraid to lose this feeling of love or this feeling of instant gratification, that there's this deep level of discomfort for me. But this understanding that this discomfort is going to produce a much more beneficial response later on, that you're going to get tenfold the benefit that you were getting right now later if you can just be patient.
And another example of that is exercise, right? That fear of discomfort or having to put in effort. And that mindset of, I don't like exercising, I don't want to exercise, because there is some discomfort in that. And when you go back to what Tim was talking about, the general rule of life that he tells his clients, that if it's easier now, it'll be harder later. And if it's harder now, it'll be easier later. So if it's easier now and you choose to not exercise and not put forth that effort, it'll be harder later on your body.
And I think something that's important to know, too, is that your brain is designed for comfort seeking. It wants you to seek comfort. It wants you to be sitting in a position that feels comfortable, sleeping in a position that feels comfortable, wants your stomach to be full, wants you to be nice and rested. And so understanding that you are fighting what your brain is trying to get you to do, it's trying to move you into immediate comfort now. But the truth is, we know better than what our brain is telling us to do immediately now. We know I will be more comfortable if I do these other things. I will be more comfortable later compared to what I am now. Another good example of something that is uncomfortable is trying to get your finances in order. That's not a fun thing. That's uncomfortable. It's not fun. If you're in a bunch of debt, that means that you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of fun things like vacations or eating out or different budgetary items. You might have to put some shackles on for a little bit. But then when you get to a much healthier financial position, it feels better. Then you can actually do much more of what you want to once you get out. But it takes months or even years sometimes for people to get out of a difficult financial position and into a better one. And it's uncomfortable now. There's a lot of discomfort that goes with it. But once you finally get that burden off of your shoulders, it feels dramatically better.
And the last reason we're going to address about why it's hard or difficult to stop unwanted behaviors is because of a lack of alternate strategies or alternate options. And so if that unwanted behavior is serving as a coping mechanism, then a lot of times it's because of the lack of alternate coping strategies. So people who are smoking to reduce stress, they might struggle to give it up without effective or healthy coping strategies to handle whatever the underlying issue is or handle the stress that they're using smoking to cope with.
And one of the things that I find I am regularly talking to my clients about, people who are regularly smoking marijuana, and one thing that none of my clients will ever debate on is this idea is that a major problem with regular use of marijuana, especially if you're using it as a coping mechanism for negative feelings, is that a lot of times people get to this point where they then can't stop smoking because if they stop smoking, they have this absolute tidal wave of negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions that just wash over them. And then that caused them to run back to smoking again to stop that tidal wave. And so a major problem with it is when you use a substance as a way to cope with your negative emotions, it's so much easier to use that substance than it is to use a healthy coping mechanism. And so what happens is if you had healthy coping mechanisms before, but then you started using substances to cope with your unpleasant feelings, you start losing the ability to really use those good, healthy coping mechanisms. And so then it leaves you with only one thing you can do to make yourself feel better when you're not in a good spot, and that's going back to those substances. And so one thing I always like to tell my clients, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or something else, hey, listen, you never want to use when you're feeling in a bad mood. If you're in a good mood and you want to party and you want to have a little bit of fun, that's fine. But if you're in a bad mood, you never want to use a substance to help you cope with that bad feeling, because that's really what leads it into more of a habit where you get stuck into doing that thing. Because now this is such an easier way for you to solve that problem. It's not a good way to solve that problem, but it's an easier way to solve that problem. You're going to find yourself running back to it again and again and again, and then you're going to be stuck in the throes of addiction.
Now, we're definitely not endorsing the use of marijuana, but he's talking about clients who are coming in and they're going to use marijuana anyway. He's trying to guide them to making sure that they're not using it as a way to cope. Because it's the same thing with drinking. You see people who are drowning their troubles and their sorrows in alcohol. And then they get to the point where that's kind of all they can do to suppress those emotions and those feelings. And they're not getting to the root of it.
And so the solution, obviously, to having a lack of positive coping mechanisms is to gain more healthy coping mechanisms, such as using deep breathing techniques when you're feeling stressed or anxious, or using journaling when you're feeling depressed or anxious also, or engaging in more social activities, being around friends and family more. Those are just a couple of things that you can do that are healthy coping mechanisms compared to using substances or being on your phone all the time, or eating as a coping mechanism. All of those things come with negative side effects.
And in addition to all of those great healthy coping skills, you want to really look at, is there an issue? Is there a situation or a trauma that you are trying to forget about and bury? Then EMDR is really a great way to get down to what that issue is and really work through that, so that you're uprooting the cause of a lot of your pain. And so if you're new to the podcast and you haven't really heard us talk about EMDR, we have a whole section on what EMDR is. It's a type of therapy that can really help you get past a lot of hurts and just things that are holding you back.
And so speaking of that, if you'd like to experience EMDR, we have a link in our description below where you can set up a 15-minute consultation where we can talk a little bit more deeply on the subject, or we have another link where you can set up an appointment with us and we can start working on some past trauma, some things that are unresolved that can make your regular daily life much easier to cope with and generally just much healthier. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.